if you all want to stand up. So, guys, with our speakers, please stand up every time we introduce them to the stage because we want to make them feel welcome. So could you please stand up and introduce or welcome Joshua Vandenbroek to the stage?
Okay. I'm going to get off the stage because it just doesn't feel right. My name is Joshua Vandenbroek. I'm the founder of Video Marketing Done For You. It's a video marketing agency in Sydney. But I'm here more because I believe I'm a business owner, just like the rest of you. And this is not my gear. I don't speak, I do small workshops. You guys are by far the biggest crowd, and there's a lot of you here. I'll tell you about a story when I spoke with Stephen, probably a couple of months ago. He called me up and said, "Hey Josh, I've got this workshop coming up, this event coming up in November. I'd like you to talk to my guys." I thought, crap. But I knew it would be a good opportunity. Because I work with a few people at a time, and there's a lot of eyeballs right now. So every now and again, I'll look at you, I may undress you, picture you naked, and they'll get me through it. It might be a little bit creepy, but we'll get there. So I was talking to Stephen, and he said, "What's your speaking experience like, mate?" I said, "Well, not that great. I've done these workshops, but nothing of the scale that you do." He goes, "How do you feel about talking in front of 80 to 90 people?" I thought, shit. It was that time when my white shorts kind of went a little bit of a shade of brown. So if you excuse me if I'm not up here a lot, I tend to work in amongst you a bit better. So I said to Steve, "Well, let's give it a go anyway. What's the worst that could happen? I can stumble over the lines, I get nervous like I am right now. I could fall up these stairs, which is why I'm not on the stage." But I think the reason why he asked me to come here is because I've been in the place where you guys are. I met Stephen at a business conference, sitting in seats similar to what you are. And it's only from the experience of doing that and being part of this community is that you're actually going to get something out of it. So I can understand that. So I'm not sure you can actually see my slides. It's going to be an issue, I think, but we'll get there. There's some social media details about me. If you want to connect with me, I'd love to continue the conversation. So basically, before I went into video marketing, I met Stephen with another business. I'm an exercise physiologist. I treat patients for musculoskeletal injuries. So we do hydrotherapy and gym-based programs, and we do that all over Sydney. Now, I've been doing that since 2002, and you're thinking, okay, this guy's talking about video. Why is he here? Well, when I first started treating my patients, I would write down the exercises and give that to them so they can get an outcome out of it. And a few years later, we took photos and gave that to them and helped them with the exercise, helped them with their rehab. In 2007, I started filming my patients. They could actually see themselves doing the exercise, see what they're doing wrong. By doing that, they're able to understand what they should be doing, how they should be doing it, and the outcomes that they got was fantastic. We improved the recovery outcomes by 45% in that year, or just by doing that one thing. And that's working in the business with video. Imagine what you can do when you work out of the business with video, your marketing. So as I was doing more and more of that, I'd have colleagues from the companies I was working with at the time saying, "How are you doing with this video stuff?" And I thought, well, not rocket science, it's just pulling out a phone and taking some videos. But I would go through and explain why I was doing it, how I was doing it, and the more and more I did that, this light bulb kept coming at me. Maybe I should be doing something with video. So fast forward a few years, 2013, Video Marketing Done For You was born. So we're a video marketing agency in Sydney. We work typically very closely with our clients, help them understand why they should be using video and how they should be using it. So we do a lot of done for you services, so you can save yourself a lot of time, but we also do a lot of training now, so you can do it all yourself. So this is just some pictures of me doing some video. So this is going. So I want to tell you why video is important. We all know generally that it is important, but why is it important? So my goal is to enlighten you on exactly why that is and how you can use it in your business. So we got some statistics that I pulled out of a report from December last year. It was by Envoto. And it just highlights that video is actually quite important because 90% of consumers are watching online video. Who here has seen a YouTube video? Keep your hand up if you've seen a Facebook video. Who here has purchased something online? So that's the majority of the room. The most interesting thing I think of this one is that next year, or year after next, so a little bit over a year, 74% of traffic to your website is going to be a result of video. What happens if you don't use video? Not seen at all. You're limiting your whole market share to only 26%. It's not really a good decision, is it? So at some point, you're going to have to use video, whether you like it or not. Same with social media. Originally, we weren't too keen on it. But then as we got more and more exposed to it, that's just what you have to do. Who here sells something online? To e-commerce sites or products or services, yet? 50% of shoppers, so who come to your website and have seen a video demonstrating that product or that service, they're more likely to be happy with their purchase, less likely to ask for a refund, they're less likely to want to return the product. You're not going to invoke buyer's remorse when you've got a video demonstrating what it is they're going to get. They're exposed to it. This study is an eye mapping study, and basically an eye mapping study is seeing where your eyes are looking on your website. So if you're looking at a screen, see where your eyes are tracking, what comes out first. Video commands the majority of the attention. So if you can think that on your search engine page, you've got your paid click, pay-per-click ads, your Google AdWords, your Bing ads, all that sort of thing. And then you've got your organic search engine rankings. And then there's a video that pops in there somewhere. They bypass everything and go straight to the video. So if you can rank your videos on YouTube and in turn Google, because Google owns YouTube, then you're going to be on that front page of Google. You're going to bypass all the strategies for Google AdWords and SEO. So I just wanted to share with you what we're going to cover today. I'm going to teach you how you can get started with online video. Who here is actually using video right now? Who here has shot a video in the last month or published a video in the last month? Yep. Keep your hand up if it's in the last fortnight. Anyone in the last week? Very good. One person in the crowd. So I'm going to go through the top five reasons why business owners don't use video. Because you're coming up with some excuses, whether you realize it or not. I'm going to share with you what equipment you actually need. It's not as expensive as you think, and it's very easy to do. And then I'm going to give you some tech tips for filming your first video. So the five reasons why business owners don't use video. Excuse me while I grab a sip of water. Whenever I have a new client, one of the first things I ask them is, why video? What stopped you before? And why now? And always, this is the number one. They don't have the equipment. So they think. Second reason, there's a picture of Daffy Duck in there somewhere, but they don't know what it is what they want to say. They wonder, why are people going to actually listen to them? So these are all the thoughts that are going through their head right now. They don't have time. Who here doesn't have time for video? Good. We all have this curse. We want things to be perfect before it goes live. And they think that it's expensive. It really doesn't need to be. So I'm going to show you how you can overcome each of those five things. And how you can get rid of the excuses and actually get started. So the first one is you don't have the right equipment, or don't have equipment. All you need is what you got in your pocket. We've all got a smartphone, right? Doesn't matter if it's an iPhone, whether it's an Android. The cameras on these devices these days are by far enough for online video. We're not making a Hollywood production. It's just to go on the web, just to tell people about you, your business, your service, how you can help them. You want to make change in your views. So why not start with what you've got in your pocket? The reason why I always recommend this first is because why do we want to wait for that moment of inspiration when we have to go and go get our DSLR camera and set up a tripod and do all this other stuff? Why not just pull out the iPhone, capture that moment? Yeah, question?
I'm sure we're going to get to it a bit later on, but while we're talking about it, and I'm sure everyone's got a smartphone in their pocket, what are the tricks to uploading a video so you can get high quality? Because I know that the trick of video sometimes it doesn't come through in HD or it's not uploaded.
I wouldn't upload it directly from your phone to YouTube. I would take it down to your PC or Mac and then do it that way. For those who do have an iPhone, Apple thinks it's really important that we have good audio too. They're giving you these headsets, which actually has a microphone in them. So you can, all you need is your phone, plug in your headset. On the back of the plus or minus sign with the volume control is a microphone button. So all you need is, if Apple says it's good, come on. So if you don't know what it is that you want to say, or what you should say, we all think video's great, yeah, we've got to do this, and then you get stage fright, like me. You have your own experience. Unique to anybody else. You know something that somebody else might not. So they will want to learn from you in order to catch up. So don't be so worried about all these self-limiting beliefs. I'm not good enough, I shouldn't really be up there. You've got something worth saying. You're going to be able to help people. That's what this is all about. You want to make change in your viewers' experience. So trust that what you say is actually going to have an impact. And the key to this is choosing your own style. Whether it's the type of video that you're actually going to create, or the way that you're going to present. The way you dress and your own personal brand. People will start to become familiar with you when you publish a video. So you want to choose a style that's going to be reflective of you. Don't try to be something that you're not. Make sure that you're you. Be authentic. So whatever that style is, then you need to be consistent with that style. And when you do that, when you do film those videos, you want to have a bit of an outline of how you're going to go about it. And the key way to do that is to use bullet points. Don't script out everything word for word about what it is that you want to say. Because, first of all, you're probably looking off camera to read it, so you're not connecting with your viewer. Secondly, you're probably going to sound like a robot as you're trying to read the words. If you use bullet points, you put maybe two or three bullet points of key points that you want to cover in that video. Then you just talk from experience. You know your stuff. Someone else doesn't know your stuff, but you know your stuff. All you need is a point to remind you about what it is you're going to say. I'm using one point here to talk about something. It's the same thing. And even if you want, you can stick up the bullet points behind the camera. So you're looking through the camera, but above it, you can see what you need to say. And the reason I say 2 to 3 bullet points is typically a video wants to be under 5 minutes. There's a big drop off initially. People say, oh, this is not the right video I wanted to, I searched the wrong thing. They click off. But those who are actually watching will watch for the first 2 to 3 minutes, and then it'll drop off again. Then it'll hit the 5 minute mark, and then it'll drop off again dramatically. So longer than that for online video, so like your blog videos and things like that, you want people to watch to the end, because at the end is your call to action. So consider how many points you're going to cover. Perhaps you can create a second video to create the other part. So what's your number one video that you're going to focus on first? Anybody? Yep.
Demonstration
video. Perfect. Demonstration videos for hair and beauty. What are we going to use? What's the first video you're going to record?
Frequently asked questions.
Excellent. FAQs. Why not make it easier for yourself by not having to email someone or pick up the phone and talk about the entire question and just direct them back to your website with the answer? It's going to save you so much time. Anybody else? FAQs, yep. Yeah, you want to vary the types of videos that you're doing, because there's so many different types. Over the course of your business, you're going to cover a lot of them. So you don't have to stick to just one type of video the whole time. A good one that I would start with is an About Us video. Let people understand who they're doing business with. An interview style video talking about you, how you got to where you are, what your journey has been. People can connect with you, understand why they want to work with you. The question was, do you embed the videos onto your website, or do you just stick them onto the YouTube channel and send them to the YouTube channel? I would upload the videos first to YouTube, so then you can find people who haven't seen you before. You can actually start ranking those videos, so then you get a new customer base or potential customer base. But for those who already know you, they're used to going to your website. So you just have a tab, FAQs, you click on that, and there'll be all the questions people ask. They click on the link, go further down the page, there's the videos all embedded. Yeah, that's in this afternoon. We're going to talk about how you can optimize your YouTube channel and also how you can do the video SEO so you get found. So it's all about enhancing the whole YouTube experience. Okay. So the third reason why business owners don't use video is they don't have enough time. Nobody has enough time. It's just how you're going to use your time. And that's why I was suggesting, what's the number one priority? You got all these ideas of different videos that you could shoot, but let's just pick one, get it done. What's going to have the biggest impact? So the way to overcome this is simply to schedule it. You want to schedule your videos. What's in your calendar, what's in my calendar gets done. What's in your calendar should get done. Commit to it if it's in there. Don't just write it in there and then it comes and goes. You're here for a reason this weekend, Thursday, Friday. So you're committing to your business, commit to the strategy, put it in your calendar, and then actually follow through on it. So schedule your shoot. And what I always recommend my clients to do is, you don't necessarily have to shoot just one video. You want to batch record your videos. So batching is when you do one task over and over and over, so you can actually save some time. For example, if I was to shoot a video in my studio where I have to put up the lights, I've got to set up my tripod, I've got to get everything ready, I'll sit there, I'll shoot my one video, and all right, I'm done, and I'll go off. And then next time I've got to do the whole thing again. Batch record them. So you create a series of video outlines, you block into your calendar maybe 2 to 3 hours I would suggest once a month. That way it's consistent, you start to build a habit. But in 2 to 3 hours, you just go through your video outlines and just do as many as you can. It's not necessarily about, I have to get them all done. Just be committed to the time that you're allotting for it, and then just do as many videos. Initially, you might start with maybe 2 videos. For you guys, whilst you're doing it in your business, it's going to be easier. But if you're actually creating time out of your business to work on your business with the videos, then you might get 2, 3, 4, and with time, 5, 6, and then you might start building up the frequency of how often you actually shoot your videos. Then you make this big bank of videos. So then you can schedule them to be published over time. How often? If worst case scenario, monthly. If you can get 12 videos done in a couple of shoots, you got a whole year's worth of content. Ideally, you want to bring it more frequent, because we want people to have more frequent touches to you. So maybe fortnightly, maybe weekly, if time allows, a couple of times a week. So how often you're going to be doing your recording kind of depends on how often you're going to be publishing those videos. So always say, start with a monthly publishing schedule. So that way, if you do your 3 videos, you've got 3 months worth of content. Your viewers will expect a monthly video. But then, as you get more confident with it, you'll become more frequent, and they go, fantastic. I get to see more of this stuff. When recording your videos, there's 2 different types. You've got videos that essentially is evergreen, so it's content that's going to be useful all the time. And then you've got videos that are timely, so it might be related to a particular season, it might be related to a particular software update. Those ones you want to keep in close. But your evergreen content, the stuff that's always relevant, go as much as far in advance as you can. And then with the timely stuff, you just schedule in between as it's relevant. So the curse of perfectionism. Anyone here a perfectionist? There should be more hands. We don't need to be a perfectionist. I want you to be a progressionist. Progress is better than perfection. The first video that I recorded, shocking. But then I recorded another one, still shocking. But with time, they're okay. So the way to overcome perfectionism, oh, okay. This is a couple of a social media posts that I put up. I popped up a video, basically I was doing a webinar. And I just wanted to talk to my audience and say, hey, we've got a webinar on. It's really important that you come along because you're going to learn this, this, and this. That was probably at 5:30 in the morning. I hadn't showered, hadn't done my hair. Shocking. But that was myself critiquing myself. When someone else looked at it, oh, there's a webinar on. That's all they cared about. Can't even see me in that one. Yesterday, I popped up a video about this event. Talking to my guys, saying, about to do an event down in Wollongong, fantastic, same thing. Had my hat on, not the best quality video, but it was more about just sharing that inspirational message that was captured at just that impromptu moment. So you don't have to be a perfectionist, because nobody cares. You might care about yourself and how you look, how you sound, how you feel. You might be uncomfortable in front of the camera. But the person watching you doesn't care about that. They want to know what you've got to say. They want to know how you're going to help them. The only person that cares about you is yourself and probably your mum. And that could be debatable. So the way to overcome this is to practice. Nobody said that every video that you shoot needs to be published. If you're really hung up on it, why not practice and try and get comfortable first? When I'm working with my clients, I always talk about just get in front of the camera. However it looks, it doesn't matter. Just practice, because what you can then do is review your video and you'll see what you like and what you don't like. And then you make that little adjustment. I might be standing in the wrong spot. It might be a bit soft, so you raise your voice a little bit. The way you're talking, your tone, where you're emphasizing key points, I'm moving my hands too much. You just refine the process over and over and over Be a progressionist. So practice those videos. Don't necessarily need to publish them. I've probably got about a terabyte of videos that will never see the light of day. Now, creating a video, people think that is expensive. It can be, if you're not doing it right. It doesn't have to be. If you're going through the lines of, I'm going to shoot one video, and you're getting someone to film you, every time you get them to come out on site, it's going to be a cost to it. When you're investing in your business, you're either investing time or you're investing money. So it's quite silly to get a video marketing agency to come out and shoot one video on your site when potentially, if that's all you've got, you could go to their studio, save travel for them, you money, and shoot a bunch of videos. So it doesn't have to be expensive. The key is to educate yourself, and I guess that's the reason why you're here. You want to learn about how you can do it yourself. Understand the whys, the hows. There's so many different courses, workshops, webinars, all on this topic. So learn for it. And then you start doing it yourself. This is the way that you learn. You need to be involved in the process a little bit. Whether ultimately you don't want to do it, and you can hand that off to somebody else. So perhaps you're the talent in front of the camera, but everything after that, somebody else does. But the more you do yourself, the cheaper it will be, but it'll cost you time. But when you're first starting out, I'd rather be wasting time than money. Oh, I've got one over here too. There you go. After all that time. So I just want you to think about everything that we've gone through so far. What have you liked the most? What's been the most valuable for you? Bit of an eye opener when you realize how much it's going to change.
It's when you think about it in 18 months.
Not even.
But if you don't start today, by the time you jump on it, it's going to be too late.
Yeah, definitely. So the statistic about the 74% of online traffic being as a result of video, and you don't want to miss out on that. Look at your overall costs by just putting something out there at whatever quality it is, obviously a decent quality, as you feel comfortable with putting that out there. And if at a time where you get so far advanced and you don't like those videos, you can just delete them off. Or you can just re-record those videos and put them back there because you know they're working or not based on your Google Analytics. So what I'm going to talk about now is what you actually really need to get started with video. And this is more about equipment. So I talked about first your smartphone. Pretty straightforward. The cameras on these are good enough. If you've got something better, if you have a DSLR camera, if you have another type of video camera, by all means use that, but only if you're proficient in it. If it's going to save you time using that, then do that. Only use a smartphone if you don't have, or you're not sure how to use a different device. It's all about getting that start. So if I was to shoot a video, a little bit of a selfie type video, it's going to be a bit of a shake with your hand. As you're holding it for longer, the muscles start trembling. You get one of these little mini tripods. Takes that out of the equation. They're cheap. I think I've got this particular one is called a Joby GorillaPod. The reason why I like this is because those legs, you can bend them around things. You can wrap it around a tree branch. They're also magnetic, so you can stick it to something that's metal, and it'll hold everything in place. So if you're out and about outdoors doing videos, you can use this guy. Joby, GorillaPod. There's a few different levels of it, but the starting price is, I think it's $19. Yep. Yeah, and you can just get them on eBay. I think the reason I chose this particular store was because you can get it from the good guys. You can actually go and pick it up. So it's not just buying from China on eBay. It's actually decent quality. You can go pick up from good guys. But then you need to get a little bracket to attach your smartphone to any of the tripods, because there's no actual screw in the actual phone to mount it on. Those two are super cheap, literally a couple of dollars. They're plastic, it doesn't matter, it breaks, you get another one. Probably buy a couple of them, just have them as backups. All it does is it just clamps around the camera, you attach it to your tripod, and you've got that steady footage. So whilst we're talking about just getting started and anything will do, there's anything, and then there's decent. So if you get a couple of these cheap pieces of equipment, then you can improve the quality of your video. And nobody will even know this on an iPhone or smartphone, or you're using one of these guys. They might think you're using Paul here. And then the other thing you want to consider is audio quality. You don't necessarily need to get a lavalier mic. I've got a Madonna microphone on right now. But Apple gives you a set of headphones. So use that. But if you don't have an iPhone and you've got Android, then if you've got nothing else, just shoot your video anyway. There is a built-in microphone. It's not fantastic, but it's better than nothing. The only thing I would consider is your environment that you're in when you're shooting. Just keep it quiet. Make sure you're not in a windy area, not near the beach where there's water moving, there's no birds in the background, because they can overcome your speaking. So the one that I recommend to my clients is called the Rode SmartLav. It's a lapel microphone. So you'll click it to your lapel. It has a long wire. If you get the base model, it has just a 1.25 meter cord, which is fine if you're holding the camera. But if you want to position the camera a little bit further away, get the one that has the extension cable. It's a 6 meter extension cable, then you can pretty much go anywhere. You don't have to get a wireless device like I'm wearing at the moment. Don't need to spend that amount. If you're just doing it to get started, I keep saying it, it's all about getting started. So yeah, that's just highlighting, make sure you get the one with the extension cable. And all these are on eBay. So that's the Rode SmartLav microphone. So I want to cover some tips about actually filming your video now. So you know what equipment you need. You've kind of got over the excuses. Now let's film the video. Can't see my slides, but at least I've got the bullet points. So if you're using some kind of camera that's maybe a DSLR or something a bit more advanced, make sure the setting is switched to 16 by 9, so it's like widescreen. That's what is published on YouTube, so the wider video. Don't shoot in 4 by 3 where it's more boxy, because then you'll have the black lines when you publish your videos. If you're using your smartphone, which I suggest, put it in landscape mode, so horizontally. Don't do it like a selfie. Make sure it's on the side. You want to frame your video. Make sure that the subject is well seen. You don't want them too far away. You don't want them too close, so all you see is the head. When you look at this video screen, imagine that there's an imaginary grid. You want to center yourself right in the middle and your eyes on that border of the top two-thirds. It also allows, if you're going to do your editing yourself later, that you can zoom in, you can move it, the footage around to create a different effect. If you're too close, you can't do anything. You've got the one shot. So if you frame yourself in the middle, it gives you a little bit more flexibility when you're trying to do that later. So the environment, I touched on this. Make sure that if you're going to be shooting outdoors, don't shoot in the middle of the day when the sun's above you, because you're going to have shadows across your eyes. Same if you're shooting indoors and you've only got downlights. Again, you're going to have shadows. You're not going to see your face properly. People want to see you. If you don't have lights, like you can see here. You can basically position yourself in front of a window. Use natural light. Don't have the window behind you, because then you're going to be dark. Nobody's going to see your face. If you're going to shoot outdoors, the overcast day is the best day to shoot. The clouds act like a filter, so it's very nice natural lighting. Not going to get any harsh shadows. Just be careful if it rains. And if it's a sunny day, the key times to do it is either first thing in the morning, facing the sun as it's coming up, because that's your light source, or in the afternoon when it's setting, again, facing the sun. You might have a little bit of squinting, depending on how intense it is, but you're getting started. If that's all you've got, as far as lighting and equipment, and you need to be outdoors, and you're going to do it in that manner, that's okay. You can improve on that. So whilst you're outdoors as well, not only is there visual elements that you've got to consider, but there's audio elements. So what sounds are in the background? Are my kids screaming? Are they pulling their hair out? Are the birds squawking? Am I at the beach where you can hear every wave come in and you can't hear what I'm saying? Think about what your environment is, both from a visual perspective and also audio. So this is what I'm talking about with the lighting. Make sure that if you are inside, get in front of that window. Or if you have even like a desk light, just point it up at you. If it's too harsh on yourself, you can always put a cloth over it to act like a bit of a filter. Make sure it's not touching the bulb so you don't cause a fire. And now with audio quality, this is a picture of a full podcast set up with mixers and everything, and you can't see any of it, but that's okay. People just need to be able to hear you. They don't necessarily need to have the whole DJ experience, but they want you to be audible. So if you're using your phone, and if you don't have a microphone to use, just make sure the environment's okay and you can still hear. You can do a quick 5-second test on how you'll be talking, play it back. Don't waste the 2 to 3 hours and then realize, oh, can't hear me. That was a waste of time. So do a little test, review it, make sure you're okay for lighting, for audio, and then move on from there. So all you really need to get started are these three things. So you got your smartphone, you got your microphone, whether it's the onboard microphone or something else, and you got the tripod for a little bit of stability. Don't get caught up with all the equipment that you need, like the number one excuse. It doesn't have to be that hard. On my website, I've got a free equipment guide. It goes through some of the things that we've done here and a couple more. If you want to get a hold of that, it's free. Is there a link on there somewhere? There's a link. If you want to write that down, totally optional. But the idea behind this guide is exactly what I'm talking about now. Yep. Yeah, we can do anything. Anything's possible. So it's all about just getting started, using what you have. If you have a budget and you want to allocate to buying more advanced things, fantastic. That'll help you along the way, but you don't have to. So rather than a mini tripod, you might get a full tripod. So 1.6 or 1.8 meters, depending on how tall you are. If you're tall, you want to get a 1.8 meter tripod or not. Worst thing is, for me, with a 1.6 one, it's looking up my nostrils. So I just want you to have a think about what we've covered so far. What parts of this are you finding the most useful? What self-limiting beliefs are you overcoming right now? by being in this room. I'll give you a few minutes. Okay, I'm going to do a different activity now. There's no slides for this. I want you to go back to where we spoke about the one video that you were going to do first. So it was FAQs, it was demonstration videos. I want you to write the title of that video. What's it going to be called? You should know straight away what's the biggest thing that you want to share with your viewers. Is it how to fly a kite? Is it how to do a certain hairstyle? How to is an easy way to start. Perhaps with frequently asked questions, think about what questions you get asked all the time that you're sick of answering. And then we can create a video around that. So write down the topic. Because this will be the video that you go out and you do first. So then the next thing I want you to do, we're going to write two bullet points. And it might be one sentence, two sentences, just enough to convey your own message to yourself about what it is that you want to say. So if it's a frequently asked question, you should know straight away what the answer is that you want to give. Write the answer out. You don't have to write it word for word, but enough for you to know what you want to talk about. What's the key point?
Started the business and who do we help?
Okay, so it's an about us video and you're going to discuss in those two bullet points why you started the business and who it is that you're going to be helping. Fantastic. You can even just, whenever you start talking about why you're doing things, just let the passion come into it because people will resonate with that. Cool. Well, if it's an About Us video, that's going to be predominantly living on your website. Probably won't be living on YouTube so much. You can put it on your YouTube channel, but it's not going to be a traffic generator. Yeah. It's more about converting that type of video. So if you want a video that's going to actually create traffic, then the how-tos are usually a good way to start. What's your video?
I call mine, if you feel the buzz, it's probably too late.
If you feel the buzz, it's probably too late.
You know, like test and take electrical equipment.
Okay.
Safety.
When you think about that title, it is a bit long, but someone who doesn't know you, because that's who you're trying to reach, you want to try and think of keywords that they will be searching for. Yeah, don't get electrocuted. How to not get electrocuted. Okay, so we've got the title and we know what it is that we want to talk about with those key bullet points. Have you considered what it is that you want your viewer to do after they watch the video? Are they going to just click off? If you've hopped on YouTube before and you've put in a search, how to do something, or whatever it is that you're interested in, and you've watched the video for the first 10 seconds, and you go, nah, this is not what I was after. And immediately, you look to the right side, and you're looking at the related videos. And they're going to jump over there. So you've got to capture them very quickly. And the easiest way to do that is with your title. And then in the first opening part of your video, you want to tell them what you're going to be telling them about. And then you tell them. And then you tell them what you told them. It's a very simple formula. But in this video, I'm going to share with you how you can start using video in your business. So if you don't use videos currently, keep watching, and I'll tell you all about it. Then there's a cut. Usually there's an animation that comes in. Doesn't necessarily need to be. You can just have a pause, depending on what level you're at. Or you can just say, in this video, I'm going to tell you how you can start your video marketing process. Don't bother.
Okay.
Don't bother creating it.
Yep.
Pay for it.
Yep.
You can get one done for about $50,
yep,
called Splashio. Splashio. Splashio.com. They turn it around in maybe 24 hours, 48 hours at the most. on their website, they have pre-done animations, and you insert your logo. You can change the music that you want. You can choose from a few different options. But when you're first starting out, that's the cheapest way to go. We could do it ourselves, but we get them to do it because it's cheaper. So you have a bit of an intro about your video. This is what we're going to cover. Quick animation, then you're cutting to you, talking about whatever the content is, those key bullet points. But at the end of the video, what is it you want them to do? Are they going to click off? Are they going to be watching somebody else? You got a few minutes for your video to, if, assuming that they make it to the end of your video and that you've been entertaining and educating enough, they're at the end of the video and they want you to tell them what to do. So you have to tell them what to do next. I'm going to cover this a bit more in this afternoon session, but what, do you want them to get a free thing? Do you want them to click subscribe? Do you want them to see more of your videos? What is it that you want to do? Leave a comment. It's all these different actions that they can do. And when you do that, you just remember that the video is going to live on YouTube, and then it's going to live on your website. You're going to embed it on your website. So just think about it. If you're pointing, click the subscribe button, and it's on your website that they're watching it. That doesn't make sense. You can say, subscribe to my YouTube channel, because your YouTube player will have a little YouTube logo there, which they can go and do that if they really like your stuff. So who knows what they want their viewer to do next? Go back to the website, fill in an application form to become a storeholder. You can actually put that in your description box as well, have the link directly in the description box below the video. If they're watching it on YouTube, if they're on your website watching it, then it'll be somewhere probably in your sidebar, they'll get access to those things. Yeah, you can pop up your email address if that's what you want, if that's the best way to do it. Would there be a better way to do that? Get them to email you? You're waiting for them to do something? Can you give them an offer to then get their details? We're all going to be shooting videos? Cool. All right, Steve?
All righty. Thank you very much, Josh. What about a big round of applause for Joshua Vandenbroek? Right, session one.